Okay, fuckers. What are we going to talk about this week? Well, we got another relatable mailbag submission that immediately answered the question. It is a perfect transition into what we've been talking about in the private stream this month, how our subconscious is fucking up all our attempts at real relationships. Because we're often living in a way that protects what we hate and fear the most about ourselves at the expense of everyone around us and our attempts at having healing connections, thus setting ourselves up for repetitive returns to those original events that fucked us up, including recreating abuse dynamics, self-fulfilling prophecies, and abandonment opportunities to solidify what we believe we are worth. Deep down. Light listening for me. So let's talk about why we experience relationship and connectivity issues on repeat, seemingly directed from somewhere down below within ourselves, creating those self-sabotaging patterns that correspond to our own concentric circles of hell. And how all of that has to do with true self-awareness, self-acceptance, self-forgiveness, self-vulnerability, intimacy, and trust on an unconscious level. Here is the email that spawned the perfect conversation for our topic of the month, which has been going down in the motherfucking private community. And a million gratitudes sent to our guest speaker for this share and their search for answers that I think a lot of us maybe need to hear. I'm going to throw out a trigger, but not avoidance, warning for mention of child sexual abuse. Listen only if it's safe for you. And let me remind y'all, I am not a therapist or certified coach or anything of the like, just a CPTSDer and researcher who seems to be kind of good at figuring some shit out. Let's get started. Hello, my name is some motherfucker, and I'm sending this from Ohio. They included in parentheses, lame. And I have CPTSD. I'll include in parentheses also, lame. I love your podcast, and I thought maybe I could use the mailbag to try to get some stuff out. When I was younger, 5 to 9, my brother, 2 years older than me, touched me inappropriately many times. That's the most simple way I can say it. And it has me stuck in a constant loop of self-hate and pushing others away. I still blame myself, even though I know I didn't want it. If I wanted it, it would have been different. But still, I somehow blame myself because I didn't fight enough this one time, or I didn't exactly say no this one time. The details of what happened don't matter to my brain until I want to blame myself. It seems I can't enjoy anything for long before I shut down by being hurt or hurting myself. Some examples of these shutdowns are when I told my parents I hated them, I smoked weed, and I talked to creepy older people on the internet. I thought maybe going off and doing my own thing could fix me or make me feel something good or personal, but it makes things worse. It feels like even though people may know what I've gone through or go through the same things, I can never fully express myself. I can never truly love myself or love living. I'm still pretty young. I have a whole long life ahead of me, and I fear this issue following me into adulthood. I miss feeling like a normal child that didn't know I had trauma. I almost wish I could go back to when I didn't know what I went through was trauma and was wrong. Now that I know it's wrong, I feel wrong. I'm very privileged. I have a loving family and good friends, but I feel like I could have everything in the world and never feel whole because I am wrong. I even have had a therapist or a professional be there for me like 5 years, but no matter what, I can't open up and really say what's in my head. That I hate my skin and I want it off of me. That I hate having things remind me of what happened. My chest, my reproductive parts, anything with me. That I hate most adults for feeling abandoned when what happened happened. I was alone for so long now that support feels overwhelming and it's impossible for me to accept it. I used to have a girlfriend, but when I started to unpack my trauma, I immediately ruined that relationship. I pushed her away even though she was the best thing going for me. Every day, I regret it. I miss her because she was so understanding without babying me or treating me like I'm fragile. She was always there, but I couldn't be there for myself, so I believed she was hurting me. Ever since then, I haven't been able to get a good relationship with a girl I like. I'm more scared, I'm awkward, I get too excited and overshare, and sometimes I don't understand tone very well. I think I may have autism. And I don't believe I deserve a good woman, even though it's what I want. What do you think would be a good next step to get out of this funk? Sorry for the big dump, but thank you for reading if you are. I hope you're having a wonderful day, Jess. Well, I hope that you are having a great fucking day too. And thank you for writing in so vulnerably from Lamas, Ohio. Sorry for being stuck in the taint of the Midwest. I know it well. Northern Illinois upbringing. Holler. And I feel your pain. But on to the serious matter. I am sincerely so sorry to hear about what you've been wrestling with and that sense of being alone in it. I'm sure that you know blaming ourselves for sexual abuse is absolutely common, but having that knowledge doesn't make it really feel better. It doesn't make the self-abuse stop all on its own. So at least hear me say, I have to do it. It's not your fault, and you didn't ask for it. You are not to blame because you didn't fight every time or hard enough or whatever other judgment you can ruminate on indefinitely. You never should have been in that situation. You weren't equipped to know that it was wrong or how to handle it. And the child version of you, as lame as Ohio, deserves to be forgiven and loved for what they went through. All right, I just have to say it, even though I'm sure you know it. Now let's dive in and deeply talk about what a motherfucker sees in your letter. So the first point to revisit, the real crux of the issue at hand, it has stuck me in a loop of self-hate and pushing others away. I still blame myself even though I know I didn't want it. If I wanted it, it would be different, but I still somehow blame myself because I didn't fight enough this time or didn't say no that one time. The details of what happened don't matter to my brain until I want to blame myself. So, this is the thing to note that's creating a cascade of events in your life. When we're young and abused by someone who we rely on or see as an authority, such as an older sibling, our brains tend to do something fucky to make sense of it. They just can't hold the combating thoughts that this person is bad or harmful or dangerous, and I rely on them, and they provide me with whatever resource, sense of security, some form of care or need fulfillment. So, instead, we decide that the explanation to make sense of both of those discrepant thoughts is, so I must be bad. It is my fault, right? When an abuser hits us, but they demonstrate that they love us in other ways, the only, and I mean only, logical point to connect those two narratives is, so I did something wrong. You can visualize this as a flowchart if that helps. The box that says, this person hurt me, cannot lead to the one stating, so there's something dangerous about them, because our brains can't handle that when we rely on them. So the only way that it can go, those thoughts can travel, is straight to the container that says, because I did something wrong. And that eventually leads straight to the box that says, I am wrong. So You're living in the aftermath of that initial assessment. Your brain sewed that thought into your psyche so long ago to make sense of the events that now it's indistinguishable from your experience. You've repeated and repeated it, so those neural connections are strong and bold and easily activated. Plus, it's been pushed into, assumedly, thousands of other stories since then. Each time something goes wrong, you've had the opportunity to use that as validation that you are the one who is whack, my friend. Meaning, it's a thought that became a foundational belief. When we've thought something so many times that we don't even question it anymore because it is rooted into so many of our past experiences, it must be true. And even when you logically know that what happened to you was wrong on the other person's part, it's still subconsciously lodged in your head that the real truth is your own guilt in the matter. A forever sense of wrongness at the core of your cognitive foundation, which is often operating at the level of being pre- or subconscious. The rest of you, your more adult, egoic sense of self, probably wouldn't agree with that claim that it's all your fault, because fucking how? You logically know better, but some brain cells deep down in there at that sub-C level have not accepted the reality yet. So the mission is to get into those neurons, those thought patterns, and to make new cellular connections to break the subconscious self-assessment, which is hard because, again, it's not your day-to-day consciousness that needs to be rewritten. You can't just lightly think your way out of this. It's the thoughts below that obvious voice in your head that need to be targeted. Now, this is where I'd recommend that you jump into the subconscious core beliefs and multitude of working with parts episodes that we've put out. And also, I gotta say, everything we're talking about currently, about having to deeply know and forgive all parts of ourselves before we can be in relationship with others. If you haven't hit up that big podcast stream yet, you might want to check those recent babies out too. But I'm going to try to give you more of a lowdown here in a relatively short summary. So when you speak about shutting down by being hurt or hurting myself, and listed some self-sabotaging experiences, to me, I think we're talking about replaying those subconscious traumatic experiences to try to either disprove or validate them. It's like your brain running mini trials with your behaviors. So on the disproving front, believing that doing the opposite of what your family says will bring you happiness, that's your brain logically saying, well, this didn't work, so what I really need is that over there, 180 degrees away. Which makes sense, reasonably. You try one route, you get nowhere, you try the other direction, and all the while you've kind of been wondering if your family did really know what was best. So why take their advice anymore? But that mode of action isn't actually taking your historical and current ongoing needs into account from like a knowing self-recognition place. It's more of a frantic flail sort of attempt. No offense, I do it too. We all do. Grasping at different straws than before and just hoping they're more secure than the ones that you're now letting go of. This wasn't the right move, so that polar opposite one will be. And yeah, it's an overcorrection and an overcompensation, but again, it makes sense. And our brains tend to be patterned towards extremities when they're designed by trauma. Cut and run, abandon this plan and choose a whole different tactic, leave the past in the past and try to create a whole new version of us. What they said was wrong, let me prove it by being right. All things I love, by the way. All nice thoughts in theory, clean breaks from what we're trying to escape. It's a pattern I'm trying to break in myself. Rewriting our versions of self to be less encumbered by abuse from the past. That's the goal. But it's really a reverberation of that initial trauma, just in the opposite direction. So it's black and white thinking to overcorrect for the first judgment of wrongness. If the answer wasn't going black, then it must be going white. But it's missing the mark when the real thing you need isn't black or white. It might be gray. It might be teal goddamn blue. Our brains get really limited in their assessments of our options, and we fail to see all the possible measured in-between sort of responses that are actually available to us. So cutting off your family entirely, for instance, as an overcorrection for them dominating your life thus far, it feels right when we realize their pressures have been all wrong for us. But what if the actual thing we need is somewhere in the middle? A detachment from the family and their rules and their expectations, but not a flight away from the situation, abandoning our younger selves in the process. Now, the problem with these new oppositional to our original programming tactics is when the new strategy does not work out, guess what? You lose the battle to disprove those asswipes. But in a way, you still win. Or at least your biological brain does. And that's where everything gets wrecked. Because things going wrong when you try something new is a confirmation of your brain's original assessment that you are the one who's wrong. It's still validating your unwanted experience, now with a new unwanted experience, and your brain back-acidly actually kind of wants that. It's because it signals that you were right about what you programmed here so long ago, and that's comforting. It gives you a little dopamine hit of self-recognition and a job well done having those horrible thoughts in the first place. Because the thing that you're proving correct is your initial judgment of yourself after the trauma. Your childhood assessment that you must be busted since this sexual abuse went down. So your brain might actually be kind of pleased to find out that it was correct about you sucking all along. And this is how we all end up self-sabotaging. Setting ourselves up to relive what pains us the most because our heads actually feel more secure that way, getting their beliefs confirmed by the outside world. Problem being, we don't know that we're doing it because, again, we're acting in a new and different way on the surface, and meanwhile, our conscious thoughts that are directing those behaviors are just logical offshoots of our subconscious ones, which are still locked up in traumatized cages, unchanged from the past, like they're stuck in a time capsule. So we're consciously either overcorrecting for our subconscious and ending up in this mirrored situation where the impact is the same, even if the experience on surface level is oppositional. For instance, becoming the cold, distant partner in a relationship after being extremely open and emotionally vulnerable in other instances, and ending up in a failed situation that makes us feel wrong and rejected in the same way. Anyways, different behaviors, same result, same message that we take away from it. So, they're not actually different behaviors is the core of this. They're just opposite ends of the same spectrum of overdoing it or underdoing it in relationship in this example. The other option is that we're consciously playing into the contents of our subconscious, repeating them in an obvious way and recreating the original events kind of straight up. For example, being the one who gives and shares and overcares and takes the responsibility of the entire relationship on our own shoulders time and time and time again, like we live in a Groundhog's Day existence. And we receive the same unwanted results each time, thus proving again we are incapable and wrong. So, at the beginning, middle, and end of the day, fucker, the problem is whether we act in accordance or in direct oppositional to our original trauma, we're doing it without bringing our subconscious shittery up to our conscious assessment center. And then whatever we're doing is going to be a projection of the inside world, forcing the same experiences to come our way in the external world. Experiences that tell us we are broken, we are incorrect, and we are unworthy. Now, this might start to explain the relationship that you mentioned, where you feel that you pushed your partner away. Quote, she was always there, but you couldn't see it. Well, funnily enough, that sounds exactly like some research that we covered this month about a woman who couldn't see her partner being 80% available and only focused on the 20% unavailability, driving anxious attachment patterns that pushed her partner away even further until the relationship was about to implode. A self-fulfilling prophecy bubbling up from the trauma depths. So the reason that you did the same thing, again, if I had to guess, well, it's not your conscious fault. It's because you're carrying an unconscious wound that you will never be seen or heard or believed or fully accepted and cared for. So you accidentally enacted in line with those core beliefs, pushing her away to force the situation to match what you deeply felt about yourself already. Now, the fact that this came after you started trauma treatment might mean that those wounds and corresponding beliefs were getting closer to your consciousness, which agitated some parts of your brain to dip into a self-protective mode. And then you shut down, communication halted, and that's what fucked the pig. Perhaps that's when you closed off to your partner, with some parts of you believing that that was the safer option, or maybe they were attempting to test her to see if she really was the same as your past abusers and your thoughts about yourself. Then you got what your brain unconsciously wanted and confusingly feared at the same time all along. The partnership ended. You felt abandoned and wrong again. And your brain felt like everything returned to normal. Our brains prefer that our original shit judgments of ourselves were right, or else all their cognitive activities that followed have to be called into question too. I'm just gonna keep saying it. So, without too many details on the relationship to really work with, I hope that sheds a little light on what likely happened? It's probably no surprise for you to hear, considering you could explicitly state your core belief that you don't deserve a good woman. If you can explore why you feel that way deeply, you will get to the root of what is throwing wrenches into your relationships. If you don't, you're going to keep setting up situations that crumble the same way and validate your original assessment of unworthiness and unacceptability. So we're moving into the what to do portion of the next steps that you asked for. And reminder, still not a therapist, hasn't changed since the beginning of the episode. If this doesn't sound like a good thing for you to do, do not do it. Don't do it alone, at least. Maybe practice with your therapist if this is going to throw you into the trauma deep end. All right, there's my warning. Okay, so real questions to ask yourself, and I mean this. Why do you feel that you yourself aren't good enough? What memories are attached to that belief? What narratives start running through your head when you touch on that idea? Can you feel into them, locate them in your body rather than listening to what they're saying in your brain? Can you tap into the associated events and downstream thoughts that you've had surrounding your wrongness narratives? And can you start to question them? With your updated, informed, much more adult perspective, do you really believe that what your head most immediately, poignantly, loudly, and historically has told you is true? Do you think that being abused early in life is the fault of the victim? And to take that to the next level, if so, would you like to tell that to a few hundred million or billions of people who have experienced the same, that they deserved what happened and they are innately flawed, so they stand no chance at happiness? No, you fucking wouldn't, because it is not true, clearly. So, if it is not true for others, why do you believe it's true for you? And hell, if you believe that you are fundamentally unworthy of acceptance, love, care, or a good partner ever again, would you really tell that to anyone else if they had the same thoughts? Are there people on this planet, period, who are undeserving of any good things? Really, consider that, and consider saying it to someone's face. You never would, correct? So how does it make any logical sense that you are the one shit-faced unicorn on the planet who has different rules from the rest of us? By putting yourself down like that, aren't you actually sort of building yourself up to be something special and outside of the rest of the human race? The truth is, you are acceptable, lovable, and worthy of good things, just like every one of us. If you, in fact, are not, then I think no one is. The rules have to apply across the board, right? Even the most logically engaged brain would agree with that. So unless you wholeheartedly can state, everyone who's been traumatized deserves to suffer alone forever because they are wrong, it isn't true, and it doesn't apply to you either. And I know for a fucking fact that you don't believe it if you were projecting that narrative outwards to others. So, a very long way of me saying, your self-perspectives would benefit from some hard, critical thinking about you versus the whole human race, or you as a traumatized motherfucker, and what you believe about all the other fuckers out there. I know, I deeply understand that it feels right to call ourselves wrong in every way, because people have told us to, because it feels safer, because that's our first thought, and we never really ask questions about it again. But the reality is that shitting all over ourselves hurts everyone around us, not just us. We're broadcasting our self-loathing onto everyone by proxy and transitive effect. And that can't possibly be the correct or intended outcome. Am I right? When we replay our traumas with other people, believing it is our fate as shit crumbs stuck in the couch cushions of this planet, we force other people to become our traumatic counterparts. They have to take on the role that we force them into with our subconscious projections, because the behaviors we present to them leave them with no other options. It's unfair to them. It's unfair to us. And it honestly does leave a mark on the whole world. And at the same time, it is disregarding and dishonoring everyone who has a history just like us by believing that we are fundamentally fucked. Again, if you feel that you are flawed beyond hope because of an early life trauma, you're saying that about everyone. I just mention this because it helps me to think of other people before I think of myself. I will always assess them more favorably, compassionately, and realistically than when I look in the mirror. And the things that I say to me, I would never say to another person. It's a pretty great way to start watching your internal narratives and starting to reprogram that dialogue in your head. So, if someone else wrote this same message into me and you were hearing it for the very first time, my fucker, would you actually believe, oh yeah, that person brought their sexual abuse onto themselves? They are broken, they are wrong, and they'll never have a positive relationship experience? I'm giving you time to actually answer. No, you wouldn't ever fucking think, feel, or say that. None of us would. And the same goes for you, email writer. We don't feel that way about you or your story at all. And the real challenge is figuring out why you have so much resistance to seeing yourself as an equal member of the human race. What about you is so different from other people that you're individually fucked forever? And if you sit, explore, and really feel into that question, I bet you'll find a surprising number of answers that come up, maybe subconsciously, but they'll all be straw man arguments. And as for how to work with this inner incongruency on the subconscious level, well, I would prompt you to listen back to this episode or go to the show posting on the blog, t-mfrs.com, and pull out all the questions I've laid out for you so far. And then really, I mean it, sit with them. Clear a weekend, schedule nothing, get rid of all distractions, including your fucking phone, and answer those questions slowly from the core of your guts to the bottom of your feet. And try to find the bottom of the answers at the same time. Journal them and try to experience your answers, your narratives, and your associated memories as you're tuning in on a somatic level. Then check over your core beliefs critically. Write out the logical counterpoints that blow those original ideas of wrongness and unworthiness apart. Really try to feel them, consider them on a large human scale, and ground them into your body. And in doing so, you'll start sewing those new neural connections into place, rewriting your fucked up core beliefs, negative points of unfair self-assessment, and self-limiting programs. So they aren't controlling you from below, from the sub-sea anymore. And instead, you have a conscious understanding of yourself through and through that's directing your behaviors instead of projecting your wounds onto the world in that perpetual hellish Groundhog's Day. So, my fucker, learning about your trauma isn't a burden, but learning about your trauma and continuing to live in it because your unconscious thoughts and memories are pulling you back into original wound validating situations over and over and over again, that is goddamn torture. It's like treating some of your brain cells, giving them a new perspective, but still housing the old brain cells that tell you the exact opposite. And then living with those polarized, conflicting views from inside your own skull and wondering why everything feels awful and seems to keep falling apart. It's because you don't fully believe what you've learned about your life on trauma so far. And some parts of you are hanging on to horrific self-judgments that won't let you move forward, even if other parts of you have let go of those stories. So, that's why you can't fully express yourself. You don't believe in yourself or your ability to express yourself without punishment. Some pieces of you want to do it. Some parts still feel that you'll be cast aside or hurt further. Even folks who have similar backgrounds don't appear to be full comrades because you are still not a full comrade to you. You're believing that you're worse or different than them. And therapists don't feel safe because, hell, You aren't even forgiving those pieces of yourself. Yourself. So you're plagued by the pain of not feeling fully accepted by others because you're not fully accepting you. No sense of safe self-acceptance, no sense of safe self-expression, no real connections can be made. The excellent news is, like you said, you're young and you have so much time to work on this. I think most of us mourn the years that we lost not knowing what was going on inside of our brains and bodies, which made life a lot worse as we repeated those patterns. You've got the opportunity to change your patterns now and save yourself from decades of solidifying the same self-hating brain connections with even more self-sabotaging validations of your fucked up core beliefs. And that's a pretty huge goddamn gift. Many unhealthy relationships you are saving yourself from, many repeating trauma replays that you don't have to experience before you finally get what's been going down all along. And I hope you're proud of yourself for coming to these realizations now, early in life, and working to change them. And if that's not something you're capable of yet, feeling proud, know that these motherfuckers around you are. We see you. We accept you. We know your story from inside the experience. And you're definitely not the only one who feels like life gets stuck in a traumatized rut, hanging in the balance between a consciously healed brain and a subconsciously still very wounded one. You can't change the abandonment and abuse that you already faced. And I'm really sorry for those experiences. They were not your fault, but you can heal from those memories so you don't continue abandoning and abusing yourself or accidentally projecting those things onto others as you assess that you're not good enough for them and force them into abandoning you all over again. Dig into your subconscious. For many of us, that means doing parts work. We have a lot of episodes out on it. Question the validity of your feelings and beliefs that you find there in those parts. Compare your experience to the experiences of billions of other abuse victims on the planet. Yes, it is that prevalent. And determine what you really believe about yourself. If the same rules applied to you as everyone else who's had a similar experience, what would that mean about you? And then forgive yourself in the same way that you would accept someone else's traumatic past as being not at all about them. And every time you start falling down one of your old narrative spirals, remind yourself of the updated, well-informed reality that all humans go through trauma. And that doesn't make a single one of us unworthy of love or wrong. I hope you have the time, space, and energy to do all of this inner work. Reminder that this subconscious rewiring is not going to take place after listening to a podcast episode, a one-hour office visit, or 5 minutes of trying to sit with yourself before you get too uncomfortable and give up. You are going to have to consistently work to redirect your thoughts from the old belief system to the new one, and it will not be an overnight success. But you might find some overnight relief when you let go of the historical self-loathing and suddenly see clearly throughout all levels of your consciousness that nothing about you is wrong. I may be a trauma researcher / part-time hobbyist healer, but I am also a self-accountability stickler who would tell you if I thought otherwise. And you can hang on to that until you believe it throughout all your parts and all levels of consciousness, yourself. Hail that damn self. Hail relief, finally, from our fucked up core beliefs and repetitive patterns. Hail Archie. And cheers, friends. Thanks for writing to me and sharing your lives. Talk to you soon. We're not that hopeless, we're not as fucked as
as you think. It's short lived moments. We can't do anything. The fucking joke is, we're winning when you blink. It's short lived moments. Lousy with victory. We're not-